Hare Krishna. Welcome to the Questions and Answers tent. Welcome to Rath Yatra Lanesha 2016. And welcome to our seminar on Vrindavan, the pastimes of Vrindavan, and the joy of devotion. Just one thought. I wonder, can we open the size a little bit? Yeah, okay. It may be a little warm for some, I don't know. But some like it hot. Yeah, just to keep things a little not quite so intense. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yes, it's good you've got Mahesh there. He's an engineer. He can figure that out. So, devotees, Hare Krishna. Our seminar is about Vrindavan, the devotional service of the devotees in Vrindavan, the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, with his devotees in Vrindavan, how we can approach Vrindavan. These types of subject matters we're going to discuss, and in the course of that, I think, yes, we will pass around a question sheet and a pen, so if it or when it comes your way, if you have a question, something has come to mind on the subject, please write it down. And then towards the end of our session, we'll have a look at those questions and see about giving some answers to them. So, yes, devotees, Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the topmost part of the kingdom of God. Krishna consciousness is very wonderful because it explains so much about so many things. What is this world? Who are we? What is our position in this world? What should we really be doing? These types of questions are addressed very, very clearly and nicely in Krishna consciousness. Plus things beyond this world, the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. What is it? What is it like? What does it look like? What are the people there like? What are the activities that go on there? All these things are also discussed at great length and in great detail in the scriptures of Krishna consciousness. There's just an ocean of information, actually, which otherwise, at least in my experience, you just don't find at all anywhere else. So here, we're focusing on a particular part of the spiritual world, a particular part of the kingdom of God. Did you know that there are different parts to the kingdom of God? Different areas occupied by different people with different natures and different activities and even different forms of the Supreme Lord. Generally, people don't know about such ideas at all. These things are really very vague in the minds of the great majority of people. But in Krishna consciousness, we have so much information about that. So here we're talking about Vrindavan. It is the topmost part of the kingdom of God. In other words, there are parts of the kingdom of God which are lower, and they have, relatively speaking, somewhat lower natures compared to that part. Yes. For example, just as one example, there is a part of the kingdom of God. It is named Vaikuntha. And there, the Supreme Lord displays himself in a very opulent type of manifestation. Very opulent. Very opulent. And he himself, as very obviously, he displays himself as being very obviously extremely powerful, and in that sense very worthy of respect, reverence, awe, and reverence. Sometimes you may have perhaps heard this idea of fearing God. Did you ever hear of that idea? Some people talk about that. You should fear God. You should be afraid of Him. Because if you don't watch out, then He may come and bash you, bop you, hit you on the head, something like that. And that would be extremely unpleasant, extremely painful if God hits you. Oh. So that type of feature of the Lord, or the Lord, you could say, displaying himself in such ways with such characteristics, such qualities, that goes on in that part of the kingdom of God known as Vaikuntha. Yes, where he is obviously the Lord. And it's very clear, you should bow down, Mister, as they said at some point. Yeah, you should bow down, Mister, or else watch out. Yes. But now we're saying that part of the kingdom of God is not the highest, that there is a higher part. Actually, there's a number of gradations, you could say, different levels in the kingdom of God. That's one. But now, Vrindavan, the highest part of the kingdom of God, there, the Lord does not display himself at least in very obvious terms, he does not sort of exhibit himself in that very opulent, very powerful, controlling type of feature. But in Vrindavan, the topmost part of the kingdom of God, he displays himself in, excuse me, as the most lovable person. And he displays particular qualities, features of his character, his personality, his physical appearance, different personal features of different sorts, which are all imbued with that type of nature, that he is very lovable, that he is very dear, that he is very kind, and he is very warm hearted and very affectionate in his dealings. And those particular features of the Lord are more attractive than those others we mentioned from Vaikuntha, which are just, you could say, very impressive and really make you take a step back and say, wow, look at that. Very impressive. Vrindavan is different. In Vrindavan, Krishna is manifested in a lovable way. He is lovable and he is loving. And this is the highest, these are the highest aspects of the nature of the Supreme Lord. Higher than just his very powerful, opulent, controlling type, very respectable types of features. To illustrate the point in principle, Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, he gave a few examples actually, but one example he gave was the example of a high court or supreme court judge. You know, you go into the court, high court, supreme court, whatever. When the judge comes in, you have to stand up. You have to stand up because he's a very high person, very powerful person. You have to be respectful. And if you address him, if you're making a presentation, perhaps, in the court, then when you address him, you don't just say, hi. You know what? In England, you would say, mate. Hi, mate. How are you doing, mate? No. You have to say, your honor, or your worship. Is it something like that? What? Your honor?
My lord.
My lord. My lord. My lord. Really? In South Africa. South Africa, with all thy faults, we love thee.
You can refer to him as his lordship.
Or his lordship. Well, isn't that nice? Isn't that just an obvious mood of respect, awe and reverence, formality, and so on like that? And in some countries, you can tell me if it's in South Africa also, when you walk out of the court, you have to walk out backwards
and bow.
And bow. In South Africa too. Just look at that. South Africa is such a respectful country. Why are you laughing? So, yes, these things happen. Your worship, your grace, my Lord, walk out backwards, bow. It is very respectful. You have to be very respectful. And if you're not, then you get into trouble. Contempt of court, something like that. And yes. So Srila Prabhupada, remember, gave this specific example that when the judge goes home in the evening, when he arrives at home, his wife does not have to stand up and say, "My Lord." No, she doesn't have to do that. She doesn't have to bow. She doesn't have to do any of these types of things. And she just probably, I assume, addresses him by his first name. In the court, you can't say, "Oh, John, how are you doing? Shall we hear a case?" No, you can't even address him by his name, just by the title. But at home it's so different. And his wife, when she walks into the room, she doesn't have to bow. When she walks out of the room, she doesn't have to walk out backwards while bowing. All these things. And, you know, possibly, not just possibly, but I'm sure sometimes, when he goes home, then sometimes she may chastise him. "You were meant to take the rubbish out this morning, but you forgot. Oh, look at that." These things happen. So, but the situation at home, for him, it is higher than the situation in the court. In fact, he is working in the court simply to maintain the home. That's why he's doing it. And when he retires from the court, when he gets older, then he won't go back to the court. He'll just be at home. Because home is where the heart is. And that's where his life is. His life is at home with his family. And the court and all that, it's just a thing, a way of making a living to maintain the most important part of his life, which is his home life. You understand the point? So Srila Prabhupada used this example, and Prabhupada said, Krishna in Vrindavan is Krishna at home, and Krishna in Vaikuntha, this is Krishna at work. So love, loving relationships are more important, they're deeper, they're more satisfying, and they just get our attention and absorb us so much more than just formalities and things of this sort, working and all that. So, yes. And in Vrindavan, Krishna is so wonderful, Krishna is so lovable, and Krishna is so loving to his devotees. Everyone just becomes absorbed in those loving exchanges. And not that necessarily people do not know that he's God, that he's the big powerful person. Not that necessarily people are just ignorant of such facts, But the thing is that the love and the loving exchanges and the loving relationships are so compelling, so absorbing, so attractive, that the devotees, their minds simply become completely occupied and taken up with these loving features and loving exchanges with Krishna, and they forget that he's God. They forget. And they actually seriously think he's my friend. Or like Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, the so-called parents of Krishna. Of course, God has no parents. He is the parent of everyone. But in terms of the pastimes, they are in the roles of parents, and they just think he's our little boy. And he's the most wonderful little boy. We know many little boys, but none of them are anything like this little boy. He is just so wonderful. And we just love him. There was one time, there was a meeting called in Vrindavan. Because Krishna, the thing is, one interesting point, we sort of alluded to it slightly, is that even in Vrindavan, Krishna does sometimes a little bit display the fact that he is God and that he is so powerful. Not all day, every day, as in Vaikuntha, but sometimes a little bit. And sometimes those devotees, they notice that. Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. Did you ever see anyone lift a hill? No. How about just lifting a motor car? Krishna lifted a hill. But because they loved Krishna so much, they did not stop and think, wait a minute. Krishna is holding a hill. This is not possible. This is completely not possible at all. He must be God. That did not really occur to them, because their moods of love were just so overwhelming. But what they did think, they thought things like that, oh look, Krishna's holding the hill on the little finger of his left hand. Isn't that interesting? Little boy, big hill. They didn't think, this is crazy. This is completely absurd. It's completely impossible. This must be, what do they call it? Computer-generated effects, is it? CGE or what's the I?
Imagery.
Is it? All right then. They didn't think like that. They just thought, wow, that's amazing. Look at that. Krishna's holding the hill. And they thought that, you know, he must be getting a bit tired. Let's help. This is about as far as they got in that situation to really seriously thinking that Krishna is superhuman, completely in a different category altogether. That's as far as they got, because the love, their feelings of love were just so extremely powerful that they couldn't really go beyond that. So one time there was a meeting And one of Nanda Maharaj's brothers, his name is Upananda. We have an Upananda Das. I don't think he's here at the moment. So anyway, Upananda, brother of Nanda Maharaj, the father of Krishna, he called a meeting. He had had some experience with Krishna, which made him really question, is Krishna just one of the village boys, or is he actually maybe a demigod or some supernatural person? So he called a meeting. All the inhabitants of Vrindavan gathered, and Upananda announced that, my dear friends and family members, I have had an experience with Krishna which has convinced me he is not just an ordinary village boy. Maybe he is a demigod. Maybe he is even the Supreme Lord himself. But he is definitely not just one of the little village boys running around here and there. So he told Nanda Maharaj, he said, Nanda Maharaj, just listen to me. You just listen to me. You have to stop shouting at Krishna and ordering him around. Do this, don't do that. You have to stop treating him like that, because he's a very important person. He had some experience. He saw Krishna do something superhuman. And you, Mother Yashoda, you have to stop waving your stick at him and trying to tie him up. You have to stop. You can't do these things, because he's a very special person. I have realized, I have had such an experience. I have realized Krishna is the supreme pure. Krishna is the supreme powerful. Krishna is the supreme truth. I have had such experience. When he said Krishna is the supreme truth, Nanda Maharaj, Krishna's father, suddenly roared with laughter. He just roared with laughter. That was the beginnings of it. He roared with laughter. Anyway. And said, wait a minute, just wait a minute, will you, please? Listen, this boy is my son. If anyone knows this boy, it's me. So don't you start telling me who this boy is and who he isn't. You said, Upananda, you said he is the supreme truth. Ha, 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 ha. What a laugh. Let me tell you something, Upananda. This boy is not the supreme truth. This boy is a liar. Supreme truth, forget it. You ask him, you catch him stealing the butter. You ask him, who stole the butter? Was it you? No. It wasn't me. I would never do such a thing. You catch him stealing the gopis' clothes. Was it you? Who, me? No. Of course not. He's a liar. So don't you tell me he's the supreme truth. You don't know this boy like I do. And you said, he is the supreme powerful. Well, I have something to tell you about him. Whenever there's a thunderstorm at night, he comes running into my room. Papa, Papa, I'm frightened. Let me sleep in your bed with you. And he climbs into my bed and he's shivering with fright. Supreme powerful, come on. You don't know this boy like I do. And you say he is the supreme pure. What a joke. What a joke. This boy, as soon as his mother bathes him and puts clean clothes on him, he's outside playing with his friends, rolling in the dust, and in 5 minutes he's covered in dirt again. So supreme pure. It's ridiculous. Stop saying these things. And Upananda said, you know, you're right. And everyone started thinking about the different pastimes they had with Krishna, in which he did ordinary things. He stole something, or he cheated a little about something. And they all started remembering these interactions they had with Krishna, and they all started roaring with laughter. And they all started roaring with laughter. And Upananda said, yeah, let's just forget this idea. Sorry, I called the meeting. So this is Krishna in Vrindavan. He is supremely lovable. And he's supremely loving. And the presence of these two things just completely overpowers everything else. And so everyone just forgets about how he may be God or the supreme this or the supreme that. They just forget. And they're simply absorbed in thinking that he's like our son, or he's like our friend, or even in the case of the gopis, that he is our boyfriend. And you try and tell them something else, and they'll just think you're stupid. Just completely stupid. So this is Krishna in Vrindavan. This is Krishna at home. This and home is where the heart is. So Krishna in Vrindavan and the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, they're the most wonderful pastimes. And the experiences that people have in those loving exchanges, the emotions, the feelings which are aroused, are just so much more than the feelings which are aroused when one is just impressed with Krishna. As in Vaikuntha, when one is just feeling sort of awestruck, he is so magnificent. The feelings which are aroused in those loving exchanges, they're completely in a different dimension altogether. Yes, and the devotees in Vrindavan. Krishna in Vrindavan is one thing, but then there are the devotees in Vrindavan, and their love for Krishna is so much more than the love for the devotees in Vaikuntha have for the Lord in his very powerful, impressive features. And their expressions of love, how they reciprocate when Krishna acts in loving ways towards them, how they interact and the exchanges they have with Krishna are just so much more beautiful and wonderful and deeply touching to the heart that you cannot compare those devotees in Vrindavan with the devotees in Vaikuntha who are very impressed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, sometimes those devotees in Vrindavan, particularly Srimati Radharani, the love of Srimati Radharani for Krishna, stimulated, of course, by how lovable he is and the different ways he expresses his love for her, so her loving feelings for him, they are so powerful. Sometimes devotees, their feelings of love, their expressions of love for Krishna are so amazing that even Krishna becomes overwhelmed and bewildered. How is it they love me so much? What is it about me which inspires their feelings for me so much? Let me close this first little session by telling you one nice little story which is very relevant in this regard about the love of Srimati Radharani for Lord Krishna, which of course is inspired and stimulated by his love for her, but which goes to such levels that even though he is God, even he may not be able to understand how much she loves him. So Krishna, Radharani's love for Krishna is so powerful and overpowering that sometimes when he is in her presence, and the power of his love, of her love, is just sort of washing over him, he becomes shaken. He loses the ability to think clearly. And he may do something that he would normally not do, meaning a little silly. He may drop something. I don't know if you were ever in the presence of someone who really stimulated you very strongly. I mean, it could even be your boss, perhaps, who says, you know, what about this? And you just become tongue-tied and you can't really reply. Or it might, particularly in this context, It might be some super special member of the opposite sex, and when you're in their company, you can't talk, you don't know what to do, and you just become bewildered. So this happens to Krishna, and so sometimes when Radharani walks by, Krishna drops something. If she speaks to him, he tries to reply, but he can't express himself properly. It comes out, as they say, like a little like double Dutch, maybe a little like Afrikaans. Anyway, or Tamil, or I don't know, Hindi. And when Krishna does these funny things, silly things. Sometimes those who are watching, they find it amusing and they laugh. Particularly Radharani and the gopis. Krishna turns around and walks into the wall. Krishna standing there, he sees them, he drops something. Things like this. And they laugh at him. So Prabhupada refers to the story in Nectar of Devotion. One time, Krishna made up his mind, no more, never again am I going to act, lose my cool when Radharani comes by. I will remain cool, calm, and collected. As they say, cool as a cucumber. Okay, so Krishna now, he's ready. Let them come. Let Radharani and the gopis come. I don't mind, I'm ready. It's okay. And they came. And Krishna was milking the cows. And then Krishna saw, oops, here they come. Okay, but no problem. I am together. I am Mr. Cool today. I will be unaffected. I am milking the cows. And life is good. Life is normal. And I am milking the cows. And everything is fine. Let them come. So they came. And they, as they're walking past Radharani and the gopis, they saw, there's Krishna very nonchalant, just milking the cows. And completely different from usual. Normally he would, spill the milk or fall off the little seat he was sitting on or trip over something. But not today. He is milking the cows today. So Radharani and the gopis, they're very impressed. And they're just walking by. Suddenly they stopped. And they just looked at Krishna. And then they just roared with laughter. They just roared and they just screamed. And they just pointed at Krishna. Look at him. What a murk. What a stupid. And it was. And Krishna thought, what happened? I'm cool. I'm milking the cows, come on, what's wrong? And then, Prabhupada makes the point, then Krishna noticed he was milking a bull. And Krishna thought, not again, not again. So, the pastimes in Vrindavan, the exchanges of love between Krishna and the different devotees and different types of devotees in Vrindavan. Very amazing. Very amazing. Just like we just finished on the 14th of November, so say, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago. We just finished the month of Damodar. Mother Yashoda, it's a long story, I assume you know the story. She tied up Krishna. Normally you don't tie up God. No, normally people would think you should be very respectful. But she tied him up. Now, we're in the month of Katyayani. This is the month in which the gopis perform the Katyayani Vrata, the special vow for the whole month of performing special austerity so they could get good husbands. But who was the husband they were really wanting to get? That was Krishna. So if you're familiar with that pastime, that's another very amazing pastime. Krishna stopped. stole the clothes of the gopis. Oh my gosh. Who's next? So we will continue. What time do we continue? No. Next session.
Session starts at
5 o'clock.
Yeah.
5 o'clock. Yeah. Okay. So I'll be back at 5. We'll continue.
The next session's at 5.
I see.
Your session's at 8.
My session is at 8. Excuse me. But before we stop, because our next speaker is slightly delayed, did anyone write any questions down? Let's see if we can answer a question or two in the meantime. And then at 8, we'll continue with some in-depth Vrindavan pastimes. That was just a little warm-up just to get started. In Vrindavan, is Krishna displaying all his pastimes in the different rasas at the same time? So in other words, is he always displaying his pastimes as a baby, for example, and does not grow up? Well, if I've understood your question, generally, you know, it's a very deep subject. It's a very deep subject. Sometimes Krishna's manifesting himself in a certain way, but different devotees are perceiving him differently in terms of their particular relationships, parental, friendly, senior, junior, etc., etc. These things happen. But otherwise, in general, Krishna, like when he has his pastimes here, in the morning, early in the morning, he is having pastimes with his parental devotees at home. Then he goes out to herd the cows with his friends, cowherd boys. So he is having that type of pastime, playing with his cowherd boyfriends. Then later on, in the evening or so, he's meeting the gopis, Srimati Radharani and the gopis. And so he's focusing on that type of pastime, dancing with them, and not doing other things at the same time. So like that, generally, at any given time of the day, when Krishna is appearing here, he is absorbed in a certain particular type of pastime, and then later another type of mood, type of relationship like that. However, there is one pastime in which Krishna is having exchanges with all the devotees in all the different relationships at one time, in one place. That is the Govardhan Leela. Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, and all the devotees of all different types came under the hill simultaneously. They're all surrounding Krishna at one time, and Krishna's interacting with them in sort of subtle ways. He's standing there, mainly he's just looking at them, they're looking at him, but it's very deep. So in that Govardhan Leela, Krishna is interacting with different types of devotees and all the members of the different categories. He's interacting with all of them in all the different moods simultaneously. Yeah. The Vrindavan pastimes are very beautiful and sweet, and sometimes painful. Painful in the sense, when Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram leave Vrindavan, and they leave all the residents in pools of despair, intense separation. How shall we understand that Lord Krishna, Vrajendra Nandan, never leaves Vrindavan? Yes? Well, he says it. Vrindavanam Parichajya Ekapadam Na Gachati. That Krishna never takes one step outside of Vrindavan. There are two points I'd like to address. One is the point about just leaving Vrindavan, or maybe not leaving. The other is the nature of the separation, that the emotions of separation felt by the devotees in Vrindavan when Krishna apparently leaves Vrindavan. To begin with, the moods, the feelings of separation. You know, Lord Chaitanya taught that the ecstasy, the emotions, the feelings experienced in separation are higher, stronger, deeper, and more blissful than the emotions felt by the devotees and by Krishna himself when they're together and talking together and doing this and that together. There's an example which is given which might possibly help a bit to illustrate the point, is that when you're with a person, you can embrace them and hold them tight. When Lord Nityananda and Madhavendra Puri met, they embraced for 3 days. Yes. This just illustrates the intensity of the feelings. Did you ever embrace someone for 3 days? 3 minutes? Anyway, we'll leave that with you. But anyway, you can do that, and you're holding them, and they're sort of right against you, and you can't really get closer than that, can you? But when one is separated, in this case particularly, when the devotees are separated from Krishna, of course they're thinking of Krishna. There's no physical contact, but inside they're thinking, and inside they're embracing, and inside themselves they're having exchanges of love with Krishna. Inside. And Krishna, when one thinks of Krishna, he's present. That means Krishna is now inside them. And not just, you know, like when you hug someone, you can't really get physically closer than hugging them and holding them against yourself. But now, Krishna is within the person. So that gives a little idea of how it could be, at least one aspect of how it can be, that experience of love in separation, when Krishna is simply right within your heart, is more intense and deeper than the experience of being with him, so to speak, physically. So then, what was it? Krishna leaving. You know, if you had been at our program last night, which many of you, I'm looking around, many of you were not. Some of you were, but many of you were not. You're naughty devotees. You should have been there. We read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjalila chapter 13. We read, I think it was verse 147 or 148. till about 160 something. And this is Krishna, Radharani and Krishna speaking together in Kurukshetra when they met at the time of the great solar eclipse. And then just immediately afterwards, they took Krishna back on his chariot to Vrindavan. So they're talking about these things. You left Vrindavan, why? You must come back. And Krishna explains a very interesting thing there. You can read it if you look at those verses. Madhyalila chapter 13. Krishna says, actually, because your love for me is so strong and my love for you is so strong, I actually come here every day. I come here every day. And at night I go back to Dwarka. And then the next morning I come back to Vrindavan. So that's one thing. That's a perspective. There are different ways of looking at these subjects. So that's one, that Krishna would come every day. Another is that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, but when he appears to leave Vrindavan, he doesn't really leave, but an expansion of him leaves. Because as we know, Krishna appears in innumerable forms. Some of them are called Vaibhava forms, some are called Prabhava. Vaibhava means they look like Krishna. Prabhava means they look different from Krishna. So in this context, Krishna left Vrindavan, but he didn't. His expansion left. He remained. But everyone thought he had left. And when they saw Krishna, because he had not left, when they saw Krishna, and Krishna said, Hari Bol, hi, they thought to themselves, no, it's not Krishna. He left. This is just an hallucination. That's all. And they carried on doing what they were doing. You see? And this is called prema vivarta, means madness in love. That when it reaches a certain point, love can make a person think that when the beloved is there, that he or she is not there. And not just think like that, but be completely convinced of that. That when they're there, they're not there. And when they're not there, they are there. So the pastimes in Vrindavan, they're full of different experiences of that sort, or different events and pastimes. So actually Krishna didn't really leave Vrindavan, but if ever it seemed that he wasn't there, he was just hiding behind a tree for a while. I have another program that I have to do. Yeah?
Isn't it?
Cooking halava. Oh, okay, I have to welcome everyone from the main stage for the day. All the people at the main stage. Anyway, maybe we should do it here. Okay, so I'm going to have to go. And then what time is the halava?
5:30.
5:30? Oh. Then I'm going to show you how to cook halava. Hari Bol. At 5:30.
His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki.